House Republicans have unveiled their tax cut plan. It cuts the corporate tax rate, reduces the number of tax brackets for individuals, and doesn't make any changes to 401k retirement accounts. House Ways and Means Chairman Kevin Brady said today there were some who didn't think Republicans would be able to agree on the details.
Now, working together with President Trump, our colleagues in the House and Senate, and you, the American people, we're going to prove them wrong once and for all by getting pro-growth tax reform to the president's desk this year.
Well, joining us now is NPR White House correspondent Scott Horsley. Scott, what more do we know about the tax proposal?
Well, Jeremy, one new wrinkle is that this plan would leave intact the top tax rate of 39.6% for individuals making $500,000 or couples making $1 million or more. That is one way to address the complaint that the original draft was too skewed towards the wealthy. Also, well, as you mentioned, the tax break for 401k retirement savings was left intact in this measure. It does make a tweak to the mortgage interest deduction tax break, which was, we thought, off the table. Initially, that was one of the tax breaks that the White House had promised would not be touched. But this plan would cap the deductible mortgage interest at $500,000. That's down from $1 million today. And also bar a deduction on mortgage interest for second homes or home equity loans going forward.
It would also end the estate tax, which Republicans like to call the death tax, which was a controversial issue.
And that will remain controversial because the estate tax is paid only by the very top wealthiest families in the country. That, along with the elimination of the alternative minimum tax, mean that many of the savings from this tax bill would still go to those at the top of the income and wealth ladders.
And Republicans bowed to pressure from lawmakers in high-tax states like New York. People there will still be able to deduct some of their state and local taxes?
They kind of half-bowed. Remember, when the budget went through the House on a sort of necessary precursor to this tax bill, there were 11 Republicans from New York and New Jersey who voted against the GOP budget to protest the idea that the very valuable tax break for state and local income taxes would be eliminated. In an effort to mollify those Republicans from high-tax states like New York, New Jersey, California, Illinois, this plan would allow taxpayers to deduct up to $10,000 in property taxes. But the tax break for state and local taxes still goes away in this bill, and that will continue to be controversial.
So what happens now?
Well, there's going to be a sales pitch here at the White House this afternoon. Republicans are very determined to push this bill through. They'd like to get it done by the end of the year to sort of cap off a year in which they don't have a whole lot of other legislative accomplishments to showcase. But this is still going to be a heavy lift. There will still be complaints from Democrats and those on the left that this measure is overly weighted towards the wealthy. And the real challenge is, in their zeal to cut both individual and corporate taxes, Republicans are taking trillions of dollars out of the federal treasury. And they're not cutting very much in the way of loopholes and tax breaks to help pay for that. So that's going to be the challenge.
All right. Well, we will keep watching that. But meanwhile, President Trump heads off on a trip to Asia tomorrow, his first official trip there. He's going to visit five countries, attend two international summits. Do you think North Korea is going to dominate this trip or a range of issues?
North Korea will certainly dominate at least the first two stops in Tokyo and Seoul. Both Japan and South Korea are obviously very concerned about the nuclear saber-rattling by North Korea. Some of the North Korean missile tests have flown right over Japanese territory. So that will certainly be a focus there, as well as the third stop in China. In China, though, the president will also be talking about the trade deficit with China that the U.S. has, which was a source of frequent complaints for him during the presidential campaign. Mm-hmm. He has said that he would take a softer line on China's trade policies if China cooperates in putting pressure on North Korea over its nuclear program. But I think those are going to be the twin issues that dominate at least the first three stops on this trip, North Korea and trade.
Well, and what about the relationship between President Trump and China right now? President Xi Jinping just spoke recently at the Party Congress and said it's time for China to take center stage in the world. Experts are saying Xi is the most powerful Chinese leader since Mao.
And it's interesting to contrast both his position and that of Japanese Prime Minister Abe, who's also coming off a big electoral win, with the position of President Trump, who is going in a somewhat weakened state with his own approval ratings at their near low point for his presidency, and, of course, with his former campaign chairman now under indictment back home.
And this is a pretty long trip, right? 12 days?
It's going to be a marathon. It's the longest trip by a president to Asia since the Bushushuru trip in 1992. And we remember how that ended rather embarrassingly for the first president, George H.W. Bush.
That's NPR White House correspondent Scott Horsley. Scott, thank you.
Good to be with you, Jeremy.